I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, a couple weeks ago, and it was about 11:30 at night. I was up on the third floor of the hotel, and I was reading, and I heard a thump at the window. And I went over. There was a little. It was just a little narrow balcony out on that was connected, and there was a light. I flipped on the light, and there was a little bird that had bumped into the window and was laying down there on the balcony. And so I just watched him for a little bit. He was a little bit shaken, like we would be if we ran into a window and at full speed. But he shook himself off after a while and flew away. As I was thinking about that, and I thought about this verse in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, where the Bible says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father?" And I thought about that little bird, and I said, you know, God knew at the very moment that that little bird flew into that window. He knew the time that he spent on the balcony, and he knew that he was going to get up and fly away. Now, I want to compare a couple of verses of Scripture, and I'll give you the title of my message in just a moment. You've probably already seen it in the bulletin, but I want you to understand where it comes from. Again, Matthew 10:29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing?" Now, you don't need to turn to it, but I'm going to turn over to Luke chapter 12 and read verses 6 and 7. Here's what the Bible says: "Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God." Now, you do the math with me. If you go to Matthew where it says two sparrows are sold for a farthing, you would expect four to be sold for two farthings. And yet over there in the book of Luke, it says when you buy four, whoever's selling them, and they sold them for food back then, but whoever was selling them had a deal. You buy four, I'll give you one free. You buy two for one, four for two, and if you buy four, I'll throw one in for nothing. I won't charge you anything. And this morning I want to preach a sermon entitled, "The God of the Fifth Sparrow." The God of the Fifth Sparrow. The fifth sparrow that doesn't cost anything. The fifth sparrow that's free. The fifth sparrow that's given when you buy four. And I want you to understand this morning that that little fifth sparrow, what God says about the sparrows is true about him. Even though he doesn't cost anything, even though he has no value upon him, not one of them falls to the earth without God knowing it. Not one of them fall, and not one of them is forgotten by God. And I want to remind you this morning about the God who loves the little sparrow and remind you that he also loves us. Just like he knows, it says there, he knows the number of hairs on our head. You know, the older I get, the less he has to keep track of. Some of you suffer that same thing with me. But it's amazing to me that God knows enough about us that he has the very head, or the hairs on our head numbered. Which, and what God is trying to say in these verses that Jesus spoke is, hey, just like I got my eye on the sparrow, I got my eye on you. Just I'm watching over the sparrow, and not one of them falls without me knowing about it. I want you to know I've got my eye on you. And I know what you're going through. This time of year, when if we're not careful, a lot of people get depressed. A lot of people get under the burdens that they have, and they sort of forget what kind of God they have. Talked about in Sunday school this morning that our hope is not built on things of this world. Our hope is built on the everlasting rock, God. And so this morning I want to just remind you of some things about what our God knows about us. And I'm going to use, hey, Brother John, turn me down just a little bit. I'm getting a little bit of ring. And I have enough rings already. I don't need any more. But I want to remind you about what God knows about us. And I want to just use some different Bible stories to prove to you that God cares. I want you to, first of all, I want to remind you, first of all, that God knows that you have bills to pay. Sometimes when we get under it financially, and we have several of our families in our church, they're having some tough time financially, and we might think that God is not concerned about things like that. Yeah, He's concerned about our soul, and He's concerned about us getting to heaven. He's concerned about other things, but He might not be concerned about the bills that we have to pay. I want to remind you of a little story that happened where one day Peter was out and some guy came up to him and said, "Peter, does your master pay taxes?" And Peter didn't know. And he said, "Well, I guess he does." And he went back into the house where Jesus was, and Jesus didn't wait for him to ask the question. Jesus asked him a question. He said, "Hey, Peter, who does the world collect tribute from? Who does the world collect taxes from? From children? Children of God or strangers?" And Peter said, "Well, I guess the strangers." And Jesus said, "You're right. But just so that we won't offend anybody, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a hook. I want you to go down to the sea. I want you to cast that hook into the sea. And the first fish that you catch, I want you to open its mouth, and there's going to be a piece of money in that fish's mouth, and I want you to go pay my taxes and your taxes so we won't offend anybody." Now, you talk about faith and obedience. We were talking about Joseph in the children's class this morning about how he was obedient to God when he told him to go marry Mary. And you talk about obedience. I don't know about you. I've done a lot of fishing. I never caught a fish with any money. I mean, I prayed sometimes, "Lord, do it again. You did it once, do it again." But I've never caught fish with any money. But I want to tell you, God had a fish. You say, "Brother Darrell, where'd the fish get the money?" Say, "He got it from God." I mean, before the tax bill came up, God had a fish go swallow a coin, and God worked it out. When the tax question came up, Peter was able to go to the sea, cast in the hook, catch that first fish, and there was enough money to pay the taxes of Jesus and Peter. Now, I want to remind you this morning, God knows what kind of bills that you have. He knows if you have a house payment. He knows if you have a car payment. He knows that the electric bill is due, the consumer's bill is due. He knows that we have bills to pay. And I want to remind you this morning that we have a God that supplies the ability for us to meet our financial obligations. He gives us enough money to pay the bills. And you say, "Well, just a minute, preacher. What about the work that I do? Or what about the work that I did? Now I get my retirement." That's who pays the bills. I paid the bills because I worked. Well, who do you think gave you the strength to work? Who do you think gave you a job? Who do you think gave you the ability to make that money to pay the bills? I'll say it was God, just like God put that gold coin in the mouth of that fish and made it available when Peter and Jesus needed it. God works the same way. And we have people that are struggling with their bills and they're wondering how they're going to make it. And I'll just tell you this morning, I'll tell you how to make it. Go fishing. You say, "You mean go fishing?" No, I mean have enough faith and believe God that He knows the bills that you have to pay and He'll provide the resources to pay them. Not one of those little sparrows fall to the ground. I mean, that fifth sparrow especially, he didn't cost nothing. I read those verses, and every time I think of that verse in Psalm where David says, "What is, when I look up in the heavens and I see the sun, moon, and the stars, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" Sometimes I feel like that fifth little sparrow. I should be nothing to God. There's nothing that would make me worthy to God, and yet He watches over me. Those verses says, "I am more valuable and you are more valuable than many sparrows." He knows we have bills to pay. Number two, He knows you need a place to stay. He knows you need a house to live in. He does. The disciples needed a room one time. And they came to Jesus and they said, "Where are we going to find this room?" And Jesus said, I'll show you. He said, "Go into the city and you'll see a man carrying a pitcher or a jug of water. Now, back in those days, ladies, that was not men's work. That was ladies' work, to go to the well and draw water. Just like it's not men's work today to do dishes. That's ladies' work. Okay, Nick, I want my $5 after the service. I said it, so I want it. I'm just teasing Angie. He didn't really put me up to it. But it was ladies' work. And so Jesus said, when you go into the city, I want you to watch for a man that's carrying a jug of water. And they went into the city, and they said, the master has need of your upper room. And the master of the house said, sure, come on in. You say, did Jesus go before Peter and John when they followed that man that had a water pot? Did he arrange it? I don't know if he did or not. I only know that Jesus knew that they were going to need a room, and he provided it. Just like I know today that God knows the little sparrows need a nest. I was thinking this morning on the way to church, I saw in one of the trees right in my neighborhood, of course all the leaves are off, and way up at the top there's a nest. I don't know what kind of bird built the nest. And I was thinking, God knows where every bird's nest is. Just stop and think about that. The hundreds of birds' nests that have been built across the world. We have a God in heaven that knows where every single one of them are. And we have a God in heaven that knows where every single one of us live. I don't know about you, but that amazes me. He knows where every single one of us live. Number three, we have a God that knows we need to eat. Praise his name for this one. I don't know who it was, but somebody left me 2 Butterfinger candy bars on my desk last night. They're gone. They didn't make it home. Disciples had been out all night. They were fishing. They were kind of discouraged. Things had happened that they couldn't understand and explain. Fished all night and caught nothing. There's a man on the shore. He called out to him. He said, children, have you caught anything? And I don't know if it was Peter or one of the other disciples. They called back to the stranger, said, nope, we've fished all night, caught nothing. And the stranger said, well, hey, throw your net over on the other side of the ship. And the Bible says there in John chapter 21 that they listened to the stranger and threw that net over on the other side of the ship. And I think if I remember the number right, there was 153 fish that they pulled into their net. John said to Peter, Peter, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. He'd been crucified. He'd laid in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. They'd seen him a couple times, and it was him that was standing on the shore. And they pulled the... Peter dived in. He couldn't wait for the boat to get back, so he swam to shore. The rest of the disciples brought the boat back with the fish. And you know what Jesus had on the shore? He had a fire going. Had some bread cooking. Had some fish cooking. He said, hey, guys, bring some of your fish because we're going to need some more, but come on and let's have breakfast. They ate fish they didn't catch. They ate bread they didn't make. Because Jesus knew, just like he knows the little birds need to eat, he knows we need to eat. You know, one of the things that I don't enjoy people going through trouble. I don't enjoy people struggling to just make it day to day. But the thing I do find amazing, and the thing I do enjoy from a spiritual standpoint, is when folks in our church that are struggling, they say to me, as they have time after time after time, I don't know how we're going to make it, but we're trusting the Lord. I don't know how we're going to pay this bill. I don't know how we're going to pay this bill, but we know that God will provide. And that's what I'm trying to remind you of this morning. We have a God that knows where we live. We have a God that knows that we need to eat. We have a God that will supply what we need. Number four, we have a God that knows the trials that we face. Disciples were crossing the lake. We studied about it a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday night. Jesus was in the back of the boat sleeping. He was tired. It had been a long day. Storm came up on the lake. Storm of wind, storm of waves. The Bible says the waves beat into the ship so that it was just about full of water. Disciples were rowing. Disciples were bailing. They were trying to do everything they could to save themselves and Jesus. They realized they couldn't do it. So they came and woke him up. They said, "Jesus, don't you care that we perish? Hey man, we're about to drown here. Don't you care?" And the Bible says that Jesus got up. He rebuked the winds and the sea. He said, "Hey, winds, be quiet. Hey, waves, calm down." And you go back and you read that in Mark chapter 4. The Bible says a great calm came. And I told the folks that come on Wednesday night, when Jesus does stuff, he doesn't do it halfway. He doesn't do it halfway. He does it all the way. And when there was a storm, he calmed it so that it ended up a great calm. And here's what he said to his disciples after the waves calmed down and after the wind stopped. He said, "Why were you afraid? Why were you afraid? Where's your faith? Where's your faith?" I will remind you this morning that God knows about the storms of our life. He knows when the doctor says cancer. He knows when the doctor says there's nothing else that we can do. He knows about the tests that we have to take and the surgeries that we face. He knows that. Sometimes we're like the disciples. We want to go to Jesus and we want to say to Jesus, "Don't you care? Don't you care? Hey, I'm one of your children. Why are you putting me through this? Why couldn't a lost person get cancer? Why do I have to get cancer? Why do I have to go through this operation? Why couldn't that happen to somebody that doesn't pay any attention to you, that doesn't hold you in awe, doesn't fear you? Why does it have to happen to one of your children? God, you could have prevented this from happening. You could have stopped this from happening in my life. Don't you care about me?" And Jesus asked us the same question that he asked his disciples that night after the storm. He says, "Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Don't you trust me? Why are you afraid? I'm here. I'm going to take care of you." He knows the storms of life that we face. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." I think the birds, the little sparrows, know that there's a God in heaven that watches over them. I sometimes watch them in the wintertime as they have to scratch for food. I wonder how they stay warm, those that don't leave. And then I remember this verse. God knows about those little birds. He knows they need a place to stay warm. He knows they need something to eat. And not one of them falls to the ground without God knowing about it. Without God knowing about it. And I want to say to you this morning, he knows about you. The very hairs of your head are numbered. He knows so much about you. He knows what you're going through. He knows the storms in your life right now. And I want to remind you, he knows what he is doing. I know so many times we want to look to heaven and we want to say, why? And I think God is okay with that. But most of the time, instead of answering our question, here's the answer that he gives us. Why are you so afraid? What are you worried about? I'm here. I'm going to take care of you. Look at the birds. Brother Wendell sings that song, consider the lilies. Look at the and the sparrows. Look at the birds. I take care of them. I'll take care of you. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad we got a God that loves us that much. I'm glad we got a God that loves us enough to know all about us, know what we need, know what we're going through, and to take care of us and watch over us as we go through it. I'm glad we got a God that loves us so much that he's not only concerned about what happens to us here, he's concerned about what happens to us for all eternity. And I'm glad we got a God who loves us so much that knew that we needed a Savior. Brother Wendell was singing about Jesus, and he mentioned the name Jesus, he says, it gets you right here. It gets me right there too. For thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That was a memory verse in Sunday school this morning for the kids. The angel talking to Joseph. Joseph, Mary's going to have that little baby. It's a child of God. I want you to name him Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And I'm so glad that we got a God who loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son into this world to die in our place. You see, we were sinners. All of us are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. That sin separates us from God. And that sin, the wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. And if we got what we deserved, every single one of us this morning would be separated from God forever because of our sins. But God sent his Son, born a little baby, lived among us for 30-some years without sin. The Bible says, tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Had a ministry on earth where he preached and taught and healed and raised the dead and worked miracles for a little bit over 3 years. And then he allowed himself to be hung on a cross. And his blood was shed and his body was broken as the payment for your sins and my sins. He didn't deserve to die. He committed no sin worthy of death. But the Bible says that when he went to the cross, God piled on him every one of our sins. And he died in our place. And just like God knows that we need a place to live here, he knows we need a place to live for all eternity. And so he's building a place. It's called heaven. Pretty nice place. Paved the streets with gold. The gates are made out of giant pearl. There's no night there. No pain. Some of you were this morning complaining to me about Arthur bothering you. Arthritis. Arthur's not, there'll be Arthurs in heaven, but that one won't be there. No pain. No night. And I'm just going to get ahead of myself and say something that I'm going to talk a lot about tonight. When the prophet Ezekiel got a peek into heaven, he saw a lot of stuff in heaven. But in chapter 48, as he ended the book of prophecy that he wrote, he got a look into heaven, and here's what he said. The Lord is there. The Lord is there. That's what makes heaven heaven. It's God's there. And we get to be with him if you know Jesus as your Savior. If you're here today and you've never had a time in your life where you asked Jesus to be your Savior, You need to do that today. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and if we die in our sins, we'll pay that price. We won't get to go to heaven. We won't get to go where God is. We'll be separated from Him forever. That's what, when the Bible talks about the wages of sin is death, that's what it's talking about, spiritual death. Jesus paid the price for you. For you as an individual, He paid the price for you. For me as an individual, He paid the price of our sin. And that verse that we teach our children as soon as we can tells us what we need to do. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This morning, if you've never done it, I invite you to believe on Jesus Christ. I invite you to trust Him to take care of your sins and to take care of your eternity. The Bible says if we come to Him, He'll take us. Cast no one away. Would you come this morning? Would you have your sins paid for by the only one that can do it? Say, well, preacher, I don't want to become a Baptist. I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I'm asking you to become a Christian. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm asking you to join the family of God. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. And if you're here this morning, you've never done that, would you do it now? Let's pray together. Father, thank You for today. Thank You for the gospel. Thank You for sending Jesus to die in our place. And thank You, Father.